actually, True North has a history with rainstorms. And here's the history. I love to tell people this story. For the first 8 years of our existence as a church, from 2006 through the first 8 years, we rented the elementary school for our worship services. But during the summer, we would always go outside to the band chill over at John Birch Park. It was an opportunity to get out in the public. Plus, they didn't have air conditioning in the school, so it was good for us to get outdoors. Every Sunday for 8 years, regardless of what the weather forecast said, we had clear weather for worship for 8 years. It was amazing to watch. So when something like this happens today, we're sitting here watching the radar, and we're like, and I see this rain coming toward us. I'm like, you know, it's going to go around us. And the heavier part of this storm today just skirted right around Cannon Falls, right around 9:30. So praise God that he allows us and shows himself to us in those ways that we can come out and praise his name out in an open air venue. There we go. And declare his name. And that's what we're here to do today. So it's great joy to be here at the Cannon Valley Fair celebrating Jesus. We're just so thankful that the Fair Board has invited us to come in and do this today. I learned a little bit about this fair this past week. This is the 103rd year of the fair, and it's one of the very few town fairs in Minnesota. It started out in 1915 as a 4-H event where the 4-H people would come in and share their I don't know the right word. Sorry, they're exhibits. There we go. But eventually it was moved to this week, July 1st through the 4th, and it was expanded to a town celebration to celebrate the freedom that we have in this nation. And we have found this fair to be just a wonderful part of living in Cannon Falls. It's a great way to come together as a community. You see people coming out to put this on from all areas of the city, and it creates so many opportunities to build relationships, and binds us together. So I just love being part of this. And as we celebrate the Lord today, just a few days before the 4th, I'm reminded about how much the Bible speaks of freedom, true and lasting freedom for those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. And I want to explore that today. One of my favorite passages in the New Testament is Galatians 5, which begins, "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not allow yourselves to be bound again to a yoke of slavery." Right? The Bible declares freedom. In the beginning of his ministry, Jesus went into a synagogue where he had grown up, and he stood up and read scripture. He was handed a scroll from Isaiah, and he read this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he sat and said, "This scripture is fulfilled in your hearing today." So Jesus didn't simply come to offer people pardon for their disobedience to God. That doesn't fully describe what he did. No, what Jesus accomplished was much bigger and much more significant. He came to set people free. Now, when you think about freedom here in America, this is something that we love. We love the concept of freedom. This whole celebration happening this week is all about celebrating, expressing the fact that we are a nation founded on principles of freedom. And I'm sure you've all heard and probably memorized when you were in school these words from the Declaration of Independence: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with a certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." The very DNA of our nation is built upon the idea of God-given freedom for all people. So the concept of freedom works its way into much of what we do here in America. We have a rich history of standing for freedom, fighting to release people from oppression. Even many of our deepest debates are based on what defines freedom, who deserves freedom, how do those freedoms interact with one another, and when should we share this freedom with others. We are deeply committed to ensuring freedom and pursuing freedom for all people to live the kind of life that they want to live. But as great and as meaningful as that American concept of freedom is, the freedom Jesus offers is something much, much greater. It transcends all political boundaries. It's impacted people all throughout history. And it changes people's lives daily. And it lasts for eternity. Freedom in Christ is something that's worth pursuing for all people. And if you already know about this freedom, it's worth reminding ourselves about it and thinking about how we can share it with others. So let's consider today what it really means to be free. That's not going to last very long. So the first step to accepting and understanding the freedom that Christ brings is that we have to accept an important truth about ourselves. Just listen to this dialogue for a moment that Jesus had with people who were following him in Israel. And this is found in John 8, verses 31 through 33. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" So here again is another point in the Bible where Jesus is saying, "I have come to set people free." If you hold on to Jesus' teachings, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He's calling people to trust in him and to trust in what he teaches. That's the real pathway to this freedom that he talks about. And that's what it means to put your faith in Jesus Christ, to trust what he says. Freedom is right there with Jesus, and you need to believe what he teaches to embrace it. But even before getting to what he's talking about, the truth that he's talking about, the people there caught that statement about being set free, and they said, hold on, Jesus. How can you say that we're slaves? We're not slaves to anyone. How can you say that we need to be set free? And there's a reality in all that we need to come to terms with. Sometimes I think because we live in a nation that does offer a lot of freedoms for people to choose how to live and what they believe in, it can be a bit of a challenge for us to accept this truth. We feel as though we're already free, and what could Jesus possibly have to offer us? But there's a reality here that Jesus speaks about. And his answer to these Jews in the next verse was, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." And that's the beginning of the truth that Jesus speaks of here. All who sin are slaves to sin. And we need to grapple with that a little bit. I think it's fairly easy for us to see that there's sin in the world. Sin is anything people do in opposition to God's will for us. 1 John 1:15 through 16 says it this way, "For everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he does, comes not from the Father, but from the world." Sin is rooted in an attitude that says, "Me first, my way, not your way, Lord." It's an attitude that comes from cravings, cravings for things this world offers, and thinking highly of ourselves. And when you have a lot of people living that way, it creates all kinds of negativity because people will start fighting one another to get the things that they want. And we see that negativity in your world, in our world, don't you? It's pretty clear. We hear constant reports of violence. You go online and you'll find people lashing out at one another in spite and hatred over little things. People neglect one another. They neglect caring for this world that God has given us to care for. Sin is all around us. A sinful attitude will drive people to do things that they know that they should not be doing. And that's how you can recognize that we're slaves to it. When a person is willing to hurt someone else to get what they want, they're being driven by something else that's controlling them. And that's what was going on with these people that Jesus was speaking to. So we're going to keep reading in John 8. So let me just repeat that last verse. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. But Jesus said, "If you are Abraham's children, then you would do the things that Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does." He keeps pointing them to the statement that you're doing what your father does. And later in chapter 8, he points out that they're following their father, the devil, because these people are out to kill him. He's here telling them about God. He's declaring the truth about God. And yet the people are trying to kill him. They do just what the devil wants them to do, even though they know it's wrong. That's what slavery looks like. Sinful desire takes control. And everyone who sins is a slave to sin. There's something profound about that for us to wrestle with. It's hard to miss the sinfulness in our world, but if we're really going to understand this freedom that Christ offers, we need to dig a little bit deeper and turn inside ourselves. Certainly, there is a cloud of negativity around us all the time, but more importantly, there is a deep well of negativity within each one of us. In order to find Christ's freedom, you need to stop judging the rest of the world for a moment and notice your own slavery to sin. There is a pride, a lustfulness, and a negativity that wells up in every one of us. It drives us to do things that we know we should not do because they do harm to us and harm to the others around us. Don't you find that there are things in this world that you just crave, that you have to have? Maybe you hear about the latest cell phone and all the great things that it can do, and suddenly you have to have it. How many hundreds of dollars have been spent on technology that you just had to have? How much jealousy has built up between you and a friend because of things that they had that you wanted? Or how often have you wanted things to go your way and you were willing to fight for it? How far have you been willing to go to get your way or gain advantage for yourself? How often have you lied or withheld the truth to protect yourself? These sinful desires haven't changed at all since Jesus first spoke of them. They're still just as powerful and just as present within our own hearts. And those sinful desires control us more than we care to admit. We say that we can stop ourselves, but we don't. We say we can keep it under control, but we really can't. And as I said earlier, though, this is just the starting point for understanding freedom in Christ. In order to break free from slavery to sin, we need to recognize the truth that we are enslaved to it. No one is immune. We've all been caught in that same trap. We do have something controlling us, and we do need to break free. So let's ask the Lord today to reveal the true nature of our hearts to us. Let the conviction come, because that's the first step to finding freedom. So then we go back to Jesus' statement. He says, if you hold to his teaching, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus provides us opportunity to be set free from that slavery that's within us. Holding on to his teachings means believing in him, trusting what he says to be true. And the truth about Jesus, first of all, is that he is no mere human teacher. He is a man who declared that he and the Father are one. If you continue reading through John 8, you see that the Jews began to challenge Jesus about who he was. And in the end, he says, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was born, I am. He makes a bold statement there, saying that he has been in existence since long before their ancestor Abraham. And he uses that statement, I am, as for himself. I am was the declaration God made. When Moses asked him, what should I call you? He said, tell them I am sent me. So Jesus is identifying himself with God himself. There's no mere person that makes that kind of statement. Jesus is the Son of God. He has a divine nature. And if you can believe in him and embrace what he did, you can find the freedom that we've been talking about. Jesus offered his own life on a cross as a sacrifice for our sins, and he in fact rose from the dead 3 days later. Through his death, Jesus paid the penalty for our sins, and in his resurrection, he demonstrated his power to overcome sin and pay the price for our sin in full. So this is what Jesus did to gain freedom for you. You can receive that freedom by believing in him and embracing what he did for you. In Acts 2, the Apostle Peter says this about receiving freedom from Christ. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I like how Peter clearly states this. There are two important things that Jesus provides for us. First of all, he provides forgiveness for sins. His sacrifice was sufficient to pay for all of your sins. Sin is deserving of death. So Jesus gave up his life and paid the penalty for us. If you accept what Jesus did by faith in him, you can know that God has forgiven you for all your sin. You are no longer bound by the guilt of that sin in your life. And that guilt separates us from God. So with it out of the way, you are now free to receive God's presence in your life without any hindrance. And that leads to the second thing that God is, that Jesus has provided. He sent the Holy Spirit to be with us. The Holy Spirit is part of who God is. God is present in three different persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in the Spirit, he is able to dwell with all of those who draw close to God, who put their faith in Jesus. Jesus promised to send the Spirit to be with each person throughout their life as they put their faith in him. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit when you have been forgiven from your sins through Christ, which means you can have God with you in every moment of every day. That closeness to God allows you to know him more, to hear more clearly from him. It creates a desire to know him more and to follow his will instead of your own. And that is where you begin to break free from that slavery to sin. Jesus restores your choice to follow God instead by creating an opportunity to draw close to him, to hear from him, and to be guided by him through that relationship with him. You gain a whole new life when you put your faith in Christ. Jesus says we are born again spiritually when we put our faith in him. You gain a whole new life to live for God when you come to him and believe in who he is. And that is where you find true and lasting freedom. It's a freedom that countless people can testify through all throughout the world and throughout history. Those who were there with Jesus, who saw him return from the grave, saw and knew this freedom. They were so sure of the new life and so filled with the Holy Spirit that they were willing to give up their own lives rather than to deny the truth about who Jesus was. Countless other people have personal stories of lives that were formerly ruled by sin and selfish desires, who came to a point where they trusted Jesus and submitted to God's will. And that moment was a turning point for them. It set them on a new path in life. Marriages have been restored through faith in Jesus. Families have been reunited by faith in Jesus. Cycles of addiction have been broken through faith in Jesus. Some of you have stories like this that you've shared with us. You know the freedom that comes from Christ. There are thousands and thousands of people who understand the truth of what we're talking about here. So I want to offer you the opportunity to begin a new life today and experience the freedom Jesus offers if you haven't already experienced it. Consider the role of sin and selfish desire in your life. It has more control of you than you realize. Are you ready to be free of that control, of those sinful desires? Then I invite you to embrace Jesus today. Choose to believe in him. Accept him for who he is and what numerous witnesses have experienced in their lives. He died for you. He overcame sin and death for you so that you can be free. And if you're among those who are already living in that freedom of Christ, let's take renewed joy in that gift we have from him today. Let's pray that those who are hearing this message today who don't know this freedom would accept it, that they would turn to him and be free. So I want to invite you now to pray along with me, just a simple prayer of repentance and acceptance of Jesus. If this is your moment to come to Christ, pray along with me and let this be your guide to receiving him today. Let's just take a moment and pray. Will you hold my hand, Weston? Okay. Let's pray. I just want to come back to that moment again. I don't want to lose it. If this is your moment for just putting your faith in Christ, pray along with me now. Lord God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and I am controlled by my sinful desires, Lord. I want to break free of that cycle. I want true freedom. And I trust Jesus' words that he can offer the truth and that truth will set me free. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God who came into this world and offered his life for me. And I want forgiveness for my sins, Lord. I want to turn away from those sins and receive the forgiveness that you offer. Lord, I pray that you would set me free, that you would fill me with your Spirit today and set me on a new path in life, that I may know you more and I may follow you and break free from the cycle of sin. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I want to invite you to just share that with someone. You can come find me or find anyone on the worship team here and our prayer team. It's good to begin this journey with Christ along with others who are following Christ. So I don't want you to try to do it on your own. Make sure you come and talk to one of us today. Otherwise, let's just close in another prayer, giving thanks to God for the freedom that we have. and close with this final song. Lord God, I thank you so much for the freedom that we have in Christ. I thank you that you are part of our lives day in and day night. I thank you that you're here with us right in this moment, Lord. Just touch us now. Fill us with joy as we close out our worship time with this song. In Jesus' name, amen.